Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is a reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 30. This is Lord Brahma pray to Lord Krishna.
Text 40.
So Lord Brahma concluding his prayer to Lord Krishna after having kidnapped Lord Krishna's cowherd boyfriends and the cows. So we read the text and then we go ahead with the commentaries. Shri Krishna, Vishnu Kula, Puskara, Josa, Dayin, Kshma, Nijara, Dvija, Pasu, Odahdi, Vriddi, Karim, Udhama, Sabara, Hara, Kshuti, Rakshasa, Drog, Akapam, Arkam, Adham, Bhagavan, Namah, Te, Krishna. O Lord Krishna, Vishnukula of the Yadu dynasty, Puskara to the lotus, Josha, pleasure, Dayin, O you who bestow, Kshma of the earth, Nijara, the demigods, Dvija, the brahmanas, Pasu, and of the animals, Udadhi, of the great oceans, Vridi, the increase, Karin, ho you who cause, Udhama of atheistic principles, Savara of the darkness, Hara, oh dispeller, Kshiti upon the earth, Rakshasa of the demons, Drog the opponent, Akalpan until the end of the universe, Arakam, as long as the sun shines, Arham, O supremely worshipable deity, Bhagavan, O supreme personality of Godhead, Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances Te unto you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta. Oh, sorry, this is not by Srila Prabhupada. Translation and purport by the disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. My dear Sri Krishna, you bestow happiness upon the lotus like Vrishni dynasty and expand the great oceans consisting of the earth, the demigods, the brahmanas, and the cows. You dispel the dense darkness of irreligion and oppose the demons who have appeared on this earth. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, as long as this universe exists and as long as the sun shines, I will offer my obeisances unto you. Purport. According to Srila Sanatana Goswami, Lord Brahma is here engaged in the ecstasy of Nam Sankirtan, glorifying various holy names of Lord Krishna that indicate his variegated pastimes. Lord Krishna expertly suppressed the demoniac population of the earth, which became unbearable with the advent of demoniac politicians like Kamsa, Jarasandha, and Sishupal. Similarly, in modern society, there are many so-called God-fearing people who are actually attracted to demoniac existence. Such persons become enlivened with the setting of the sun and go out in the darkness to enjoy life in restaurants, nightclubs, discotheques, hotels, and so on, which are all simply meant for illicit sex intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Then there are those who openly defy God and his laws, declaring themselves atheists and demons. Both the covert and the overt enemies of the Lord constitute an unholy burden for the earth, and Lord Krishna descends to expertly remove this burden. Here, Lord Brahma indirectly states that Lord Krishna should remove Brahma's own sorrow atheism, which had led him to try to exert illusory power over Lord Krishna. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Brahma, in his shame, felt himself to be like a Brahma Rakshasa from Satyaloka who had come to the earth to disturb Lord Krishna's and his intimate friends and calves. Brahma is lamenting that although Lord Krishna is most exalted, the Lord of all lords, because he had appeared before Brahma in such a simple and innocent feature, decorated with a stick, a conch shell, ornaments, red clay, a peacock feather, and so on, and sporting with his cowherd boyfriends, Brahma dared to challenge him. Concerning Brahma's prayers, of which this verse is the conclusion, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur states, "May these prayers of Brahma, which take away all doubts and broadcast all the definitive conclusions of devotional service, become the expert craftsmanship of the foundation of my consciousness." Gurave Gurachandaya Radhikayata Dalaya Krishna Ya Krishna Bhaktaya Tabhaktaya Namo Nama Agena Trimindasya Ganajigana Salakaya Chakshun Yata Yena Tasma Sri Gurave Namaha Namamu Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhatale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine Namaste Sasati Deve Gurabhani Vichayani Nivisisa Sunyavati Pashtari Stagini Vanchakapa Turubhyascha Kripa Sunibhivacha Patitana Pavana Vibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhara Sivashari Gaur Bhakta Binda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sri Krishna Vishnu Kulapus Karajo Sadayim Krishna Nijara Dvija Pasudayi Vritikarim Udaman Sabatra Harak Shikti Rakshashadruk Akapun Aknaharam Bhagavan Namaste. My dear Sri Krishna, you bestow happiness upon the lotus-like Vrishni dynasty and expand the great oceans consisting of the earth, the demigods, the brahmanas, and the cows. You dispel the dense darkness of irreligion and oppose the demons who have appeared on this earth. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, as long as this universe exists and as long as the sun shines, I will offer my obeisances unto you. So by the way, I thank everyone for being here this morning. Despite the weather, still everybody is able to come. So that shows the taste for hearing Bhagavatam, regardless of who is speaking. For those who have taste for Bhagavatam, they always have grace to go there wherever Bhagavatam is being spoken. Wherever Bhagavatam is going on, those who have taste, they are ready to go there. So here, this is the conclusion of Lord Brahma's prayer to Lord Krishna. So, and it's because, as mentioned in the purport here, that his prayer is full of devotional conclusions, which means actually the conclusive siddhanta of attaining devotional service to Lord Krishna. So there are 40 prayers, this is the last one, and we can see right from the first prayer, whereby Brahmaji is paying his obeisances to Lord Sri Krishna's wonderful form, his wonderful form. So in this text number one of this chapter 14, so Lord Brahma said, Sri Brahma Vacha, Nani Diyatira Bhishavapu Se Tadi Ambaraya, Gunja Vatamsa, Paripi Chalasam Mukhaya, Banya Shraje Kavala Vitra Vishana Venu, Lakshmi Shriye Midu Padi Pasu Pangalai Pangajaya. So Lord Brahma is saying, my dear Lord, he's praying, my dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore I offer my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. O son of the king of the cowherds, your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. Your garment is brilliant like lightning, and the beauty of your face is enhanced by your gunja earrings and the peacock feather on your head, wearing garlands of various forest flowers and leaves, and equipped with a herding stick, a buffalo horn, and a flute. You stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your hand. So which means the same vision which Lord Brahma saw about a year ago, because it's a year, even though it was a moment of his Brahma's time calculation, same vision he saw of Krishna, who he was with his friends, and then Brahmaji, he took away Krishna's friend, and he saw Krishna standing alone with the morsel of food on his hand, and of course his dress, gunja berries, forest, the peacock feather on his head. And that time Krishna was just Kumara. He was like about almost 6 years old. Yeah, that pastime took place in the Kumara age, is it? Because you have Krishna's three different forms. You have Kumara, Poganda, and Akeshwari. So this pastime happened during Krishna's, the last year of Krishna's Kumara age, which end about 6 years old. So even though Krishna is just a small boy, you know, not that tall, very small, but Brahma is big, huge, you know. Brahmaji is big, very big. As a matter of fact, I mentioned that Brahma's height, his height is as tall as the entire universe, is his height. But sometimes he reduces himself when he has to come here to do certain things. So obviously his size was still very big, very big. But seeing what he had done by taking away Krishna's friend, the calves, and hid them, wanted to see what Krishna will do. So now, as Lord Kavi Kanapu has said in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, he said that Lord Brahma, even though he wanted to test Krishna, and he thought that he could place it a trick on Krishna. So although similarities as this is exist between Krishna and Brahma, in the sense that they both have illusory power. They both have illusory power because Lord Brahma is creator. So he has a lot of powers. One of them being able to illusion, to trick anyone, to bewilder anyone. But Lord Brahma's illusory power compared to Lord Krishna's illusory power, it just, if you have to compare glowworm to sun, because you can just imagine, can you compare the glowworm and sun? Because the glowworm, it's only glowworm, but it doesn't make any reflection, anything. You know, it's a glowworm. Whereas the sun, it immediately dissipates darkness. When the sun comes, darkness goes away. So which means there's a vast difference between the two, a vast difference between Brahma's illusory power and Krishna's illusory energy. And of course, Krishna, by his illusory energy, both external and internal, he bewilders the whole world. The whole world is bewildered by his illusory energy. Now, in the form of Mahamaya, Krishna's illusory energy make the living entity think that, yes, they are this body, and they are meant to enjoy this material world, this and that. Whereas, in his eternal potency, Yogamaya, his devotees, they also become illusion, not in the sense of ignorance, because materialistic illusion is by ignorance. But the devotee's illusion is that sometimes they think themselves on the same level as Krishna. Such as the cowherd boys, when Krishna was in the forest with them. So they never think that Krishna is God. They just see Krishna as their intimate friend. They see themselves on equality. So they want to fight with him, they joke with him, they climb on his shoulder, and sometimes Krishna also climb on their shoulders, you know. So there's equality, there is no like a superiority there. All the gopis of Vrindavan, the elderly gopis, they say, oh Krishna, if you dance for us, we will give you sweets. So the gopis, elderly gopis, they will clap their hands, they will sing, and then Krishna will be dancing so that he can get some sweet from them. And of course, the cowherd people of Vrindavan, they never think of Krishna to be their son. Like Nanda Maharaj, he sees Krishna only as his son. He never think that, oh, Krishna is God. Even though Krishna is performing so many, many activities which are very extraordinary, but Nanda Maharaj never think that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He never even come across his mind. Just like when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, and after Krishna left Vrindavan, so Uddhava came to give some consolation to the Vrijabhasis. So Uddhava was going around, and he went to the house of Nanda Maharaj, and he was telling Nanda Maharaj that, "Oh, my dear Nanda Maharaj, stop lamenting, because Nanda Maharaj, since Krishna left Vrindavan, everyone was simply lamenting that, oh, Krishna, you've gone, where are you? So Uddhava said, because Uddhava, you know, is a great Gyani. He was also the most intelligent person. He was a disciple of Brihaspati Shishya. So Uddhava, with his big intelligence, big knowledge, he was instructing Nanda Maharaj that don't lament for Krishna. Krishna is a Paramatma, he's a super soul, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's everywhere, not just everywhere, it's everywhere. So stop lamenting for Krishna. So after some time, when Uddhava had been talking, so Nanda Maharaj stopped him. He said, "Uddhava, what are you saying? You have no intelligence at all. You are so ignorant. I know who Krishna is. You don't know who Krishna is. Krishna is my son. He's my son. I raised him. He's my son. So how can you say that Krishna is God? Krishna is not God. He's my son." And many, many times when Krishna will be outside and he will see something, he become very fearful. He will run inside and sat on my lap. You know. So he said, that, "So what kind of God is that?" And then, of course, the Nanda Maharaj, when he will be describing so many, many activities of Krishna to Uddhava. And then as he was describing, they'd be crying, because he'd be so absorbed in describing Krishna's wonderful activities. So he'd be crying as doing this description. And of course, Uddhava, he become perplexed. So here, when Brahma is praying, he's saying that, "Oh, my dear Krishna, you are the son of the king of the Godheads. Because I have just said that in Vrindavan, Krishna is at home. This is Krishna's home. Vrindavan is his home. And in the home, there is no question of the Supreme Personality." So, of course, Brahma, he felt himself very, very highly gratified that he's able to see that person whom at the beginning of creation he had seen at very, very big form, expanded on the ocean of milk. Even his form cannot even be measured, because when Lord Brahmaji was at the beginning of creation, when because Brahma, he came out of the lotus that came out of the navel of the Lord. So in the beginning, Brahmaji could not see anything. Everything was a darkness. He couldn't see anything. He could not even find out the root of his own existence. He tried to search everywhere. Only what he could see was simply darkness. And after some time, then he heard some sound. Tapa, he heard some sound. So when he heard the sound, he said, "Oh, okay." So he went on top of the lotus, and then started performing austerity, meditating. And he did this for thousands of years. And then after that, he was able to see that there was a clearing of everything. And then when he looked down, he was able to see the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, big, expansive form of the Lord. So, and then lying on the bed of snake. So this was his vision, this is what he saw, this Lord. Now the same Lord that he has seen previously, now it's the same Lord on his Krishna's form, on his Gopa form, very, very small, 5-year-old, 5-6-year-old, But in his mind, he did not, he was not confused that, "Oh, is this the same Lord that I who's my Lord, who I worship, Hiranyagarbha. Now, he said, oh, my dear Lord, oh, Supreme Personality of Godhead, oh, Bhagavan. So he was not confused because he knew that, yeah, this is the same person. You know, this is the same person. And of course, the form of Krishna is the source of all other forms. So anyway, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam. Even though he's there in his small form here in Vrindavan. So Brahmaji, he wasn't confused about this. He said, oh, therefore I offer my obeisances unto you, O son of the king of Kahed, O the son of Nanda Maharaj, I offer my obeisances unto you. And we read these old faulty prayers of Brahma, we'll be amazed by all these prayers. And of course, by meditating on these prayers, we can actually become devotee of the Lord. Now, we may say one thing, that even though, yes, Brahma kidnapping Krishna's friend and calves and putting them in a mystic sleep, mystic slumber, for a period of time, for a period of 1 year, does that mean that Brahmaji was actually very offensive? You know, of course, you know, what he has done, Brahmaji was saying that, oh, I shouldn't have done this, so therefore he came to pray. But at the same time also, if you look at it on another way, Lord Brahma, he actually came to fulfill the Lord's desire. He came to fulfill the Lord's desires. That's why sometimes the Lord will play a trick on his devotees, so that they be put in a position so that his desires can be fulfilled. And what is this desire? The desire is that because the Vrijavasis, they have a very deep affection for Krishna. Deep affection for Krishna. So, in order to fulfill their desires, this arrangement was made. Because in this particular year, when the boys were taken away from Brahma, so Krishna became all the cowherd boys. He became the cowherd boys, and he became the calves also. And then every day, Krishna, along with the cowherd boys, who actually himself will go to Vrindavan, back to the village, and each boys will go to their individual houses, to their particular houses. Now, previously, whenever all the Vrijavasi, the cowherd men and women, they actually have more affection for Krishna than their own children. The affection for Krishna is much more than their own children. But in this particular year, it was not like that. It wasn't like that. Because when each boy goes to their particular houses, the surge of love just came out from their parents, from their mother and father. So much affection they will show to their, you know, to their children, to their boys. Tears will be coming, they'll be drenching. Tears coming from their eyes, they'll be drenching all these boys, you know. So much that, which means they no longer go to the house of Yashoda Maya and Nanda Maharaj to say, oh, where's Krishna? How's Krishna doing? Now, they actually have Krishna in the form of their boys in their house. So for the whole year, this desire was fulfilled. The cows also, they're able to have this tremendous affection for their calves. So much milk could be coming from them, just, you know, so much affection was there. And then, it was this year also that Krishna actually married all the gopis. All the gopis of Vrindavan, all the gopis, they all married to Krishna in this particular year. This is this year that it happened. You know, this, if you read Gopal Champu and some other books, you'll find this illustrated. So, which means Krishna fulfilled the desire of of everyone. So Brahmaji created that situation whereby everyone's desires become fulfilled. You see? So therefore, we cannot really blame Brahma that, yes, you had kidnapped Krishna's friends and this is not good. This is what has happened. But, and of course, it makes it look like Brahmaji had been, he had done the wrong thing by kidnapping Krishna's friend. And now, in order to make it up for the law, in order for the law not to be so angry with him, so he is praying, he's making his prayer to the Lord. So now, the verse which we are reading today, which explains that was Krishna, Vishnukula, Puskara, Joseph Dharim, the A Krishna, who is the he bestow happiness upon the Kula, the Vishnu dynasty. So now the two acharyas, Srila Sanatana Goswami and Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they give a very beautiful illustration, beautiful, let's say, comment on this verse in his Vaishnava Toshani and also in his Sarata Darshini. So both Srila Sanatana Goswami and Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they both gave gloss on this verse, which is the concluding verse, concluding prayer of Lord Brahma. So Sanatana Goswami is saying, "Oh Krishna, endowed with splendor, see Krishna, see Yukta Krishna." So which means there is a splendor in everything that Krishna does, you know. So you attract everyone's heart only because you have such splendor. This means Krishna is more special than everyone in every way. This is exactly what he brings to light with the other evocatives. This is Sanskrit terms. So he mentioned that the Bhagavan Krishna, oh, you who expand all types of godly might. So now, and of course, let's not take Goswami, he's saying that by Lord Brahma making all these different prayers, different names of Krishna. So it's like Nam Sankirtan, it's like he's doing Sankirtan. Just like we said that Nam Sankirtan, that yes, it's truth Sankirtan, that all kind of perfection can be attained through Nam Sankirtan, which is the religion for the age. So Krishna, so Lord Brahma, he condenses all the purpose of Krishna's descent in this verse. So he said, Vrishnikula Puskara Josudari. So just as by the rise of the sun, the signs of darkness are driven out and the lotuses bloom. Similarly, the suffering of the Vishnus, the Vasudev and other Yadavas, their suffering was dispelled by the appearance of Krishna, the sufferings of the Kula. Normally, as they say, if there is darkness, when the sun comes, immediately it dissipates the darkness. Now, in the chapter 2, in the chapter 2 of the of this 10th canto, when the demigods, they were praying to Lord Krishna about his appearance. So in chapter 10, canto 10, chapter 2, text 38. So the demigods said, Desha Harisa Bhagavat Bhavata Padabhuvo Baro Panita Stabha Jamani Situ Disyankitan Trapadakan Suso Bhanai Dakshamanam Gamdyam Chatabano Kampitam. Oh Lord, we are fortunate because the heavy burden of the demons upon the earth is immediately removed by your appearance Indeed, we are certainly fortunate, for we shall be able to see upon this earth and in the heavenly planets the marks of lotus, conch shell, club, and disc that adorn your lotus feet. So the demigods, they were very joyous by the appearance of Lord Krishna. So which means by this appearance, the joy will manifest in the hearts of everyone. So therefore, Lord Brahma saying that as Vishnikula Puskara Josadayim, that you give joy to the members of Vishnu, to the members of Yadus, by your appearance, you give joy to them. And of course, when we say Yadu dynasty, this also includes the Brijabasis, because especially Nanda Maharaj is also part of Yadu dynasty. So, when the so this was stated in the two texts, Sabibra Purusham Dharma, and then Distyare Shya Bhavata Padobhu. This is the text which I just read. So, and then he mentioned Kshema Nijara Dvija Pasudahi Vritikari, ho, you who does the increase of the earth, of the gods, of Brahmanas, of Nandas Braja, which is an ocean of cows and other animals. So there are two comparisons which are made here. One is the sun, and the other one is the moon. So the sun dissipates all darkness, and then gives everyone happiness because you can see everything. And then the moon, Krishna is also compared to the moon, because when the moon comes out, the ocean increases. The ocean becomes big, and then all kinds of amenities in the world, they all grow. So it means by the appearance of the moon, the earth becomes nourished, then the brahmanas, the forest animals, especially here in Vrindavan. So everyone becomes very gladdened by the appearance of Krishna. They become very gladdened. So Krishna, he nourishes all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So as they say, Vrindavan Parityagya Padayakana Braja, that Krishna is always in Vrindavan. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, he's always here in Vrindavan. Srila Rupa Goswami, he explained in the Uddhava Sandesh that when Krishna was being taken out of Vrindavan by Akura, at that time Akura, he had gone to take a bath in Yamuna. On entering Yamuna, he saw Krishna and Balaram there inside, as they transformed himself into Vishnu and Anantashes. And then so Akura was very surprised. Then he came out again, he saw the same Krishna and Balaram, they were sitting on the chariot. So therefore Akura became kind of confused. But what Akura took out of Vrindavan is not original form of Krishna and Balaram. It's not the original form. It's Mathura Nat Krishna, not Vrindavan, not Nandanandana Krishna. Nandanandana Krishna is always in Vrindavan, he never goes away. Now, so if you say that Krishna never lived in Vrindavan, so how come Vrijabasi, they were lamenting for Krishna? So, of course, this topic can be subject matter for, a much intimate, deeper class. So now, Sanatan Goswami said, the sense is he occasions the prosperity of all the Brahmanas who are gods on earth, of all the birds, the animals, the cow, the buffalo, who only have connection with Braja. So each of these groups is an ocean on account of being a great abundance. This means you only promote Braja because it is predominant. Now next, with Udama Sabahara, Sabahara, he described at the end the main purpose, which means because we know there are so many irreligious principles, so many adharma, which go on in the name of religious principles. But it's actually, adharma is actually irreligion. Just like in the second verse of Bhagavatam, it says, Dharma Prajita Kadavata Paramonima Samsatana. Dharma Prajita Kadava means this Bhagavatam, it kicks out all kinds of irreligion. And what are these? This is when we talk of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, speculative habits, Kamakandya. This is all irreligion. The whole idea that let me worship God so that God can give me whatever I need. This is considered to be Udama, Adama, irreligion. Whereas the real Dharma is Prem Bhakti to Lord Sri Krishna. That's the real Dharma, the loving devotional service to Krishna. So, Srimad Bhagavatam actually kicks out any kinds of irreligious habit. Even desire for Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha is described to be cheating religion, cheating process. So Bhagavatam, he kicks out all these things. He only propagates only pure devotional service to Krishna. And then of course, so this idea of Kriti Rakshasa Druk, which means that there are the Rakshasas, the demons, those who are in this world, who in the guise of being pious people, but they're actually irreligious themselves. So Lord Brahma said that by your appearance, he said that you actually terminate all these irreligious elements. However, Lord Brahma is comparing himself to these people. He's comparing himself to an atheist because Saint Krishna, his friends, he thought that let me illusion Krishna. Let me put him in illusion by taking away his friends and see what he's going to do. So Lord Brahma essentially is comparing himself to all these atheistic elements. And he's praying to Lord Krishna to be merciful upon him. And then also, Rakshasa dream, he said that Krishna, just as you have killed all these demons, Rakshasas, so do the same upon me. Because it's a demonic mentality for me to have come to, take away your friends. So Brahmaji is praying to Krishna that, this demonic element, apply to me only. So if you simply, kill this element within me, then I can become your devotees. And of course, just as we read in the previous text, that whereby Lord Brahma is praying that please allow me to live. Because he was fearing that if he stays much longer in Vrindavan, he may commit further offenses. So therefore, he was praying to Krishna that allow me to live. So, and of course, our time is going. So so much to say that so Brahma, he felt himself very, very humble, because unless we are very, very humble, we cannot really practice devotional service. So in his extreme humility, Brahma is praying, he's making all these prayers, comparing himself to a demon and praying to Krishna to kill him, to kill this demoniac mentality. So so this is the comment according to Sanatana Goswami, and of course we have the other acharyas there also. But anyway, so we should meditate on these prayers of Lord Brahma, and then we will be endowed with loving sentiment, loving devotional sentiment towards the Lord. So Hare Krishna. So any question or comments? Very quick, You say yes, a question. Ask your question.
You just mentioned several times the power of prayer. What is prayer? So, if you can address an issue on that, what is prayer?
Wait, just 1 second.
Yeah, just
there. You mentioned several times prayer. Mm-hmm. So, if you can address that, what is prayer? And to what extent do the practitioner, spiritual practitioner, sit down and pray?
Mm-hmm.
So, this question, if you can address it, very well.
Yeah, what is prayer? Of course, throughout our...
What is prayer? To what extent spiritual practitioners see light in prayer?
Yeah, that's what I want to address, that the prayers of the spiritual practitioners, let's say of the devotees, is to be engaged in the pure devotional service to Krishna. Whereas the prayers of normal people, normally they pray for us self gratification, normally. Actually, our scriptures is all full of prayers. If you draw a Bhagavatam, full of prayers. There's so many, many compilations by the acharyas. It's all full of prayers. You know, you Padyavali is a book of prayers. The Viva Brahma Samhita is full of prayers. The Krishna Kanamrita is all prayers. Many prayers, but what are those prayers? You will find nothing that indicates, God, give me this, give me that. Let me enjoy myself. Let me have a new car, a new house, whatever, a new promotion. You will not find none of those in those prayers. It's all about glorifying Krishna's beautiful form. And how... Huh? Well, not Om Jai Jagadishare, we know new... Do still start Jai Jagadishare? You know, if you hear from the Dinabadi Prabhu, is very, very good in mentioning this, you know. So, the devotee's prayer is, very for they are very, very humble, very, very submissive, and in their deepest heart, they pray for loving devotional service. They pray to be, just like the devotee said, that I would rather be placed in a cage full of ferocious lion than being in the, you know, in the association of non-devotees, in the association of sense enjoyers. So this is a devotee's prayer because they want to attain pure, loving, devotional service unto Krishna. So which means if we want to be devotees, then we have to follow, this is the guideline that we have to follow. We want to pray, we should pray. Prayer is called bandana. Prayer is one of the, you know, main aspects of devotional service. But what do we pray for? We pray for, it just like Brahma is praying here. This is Brahma's prayer. Brahma is not praying so that he can become a better creator. So that, you know, he's simply praying that he say, I want to become a grass in Vrindavan so that the Brijbasi, they can step upon me. You know, Brahmaji was praying for that. I want to become a grass in Vrindavan so that Brijbasi can step upon me. Then I will be very gratified. But how many of us are praying for that? It's like, I want to serve Krishna, but I want this, I want this, I want that. You know. So it's like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta will always say that we should not make Krishna our servant. We should become Krishna's servant. The idea to pray for this and that, for benedictions, for this, you know, is because we want to make Krishna our servant. We are not praying that we want to serve Krishna, but we are praying for Krishna to serve us. That's the whole idea. So that's why pure devotional service is extremely rare. It's very, very rare. You know, it is in a pure devotional service, extremely rare. You know.
Our topmost prayer, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by praying that, well, we are praying for the Lord to engage us in His eternal service, in the eternal devotional service. That's the whole prayer of Hare Krishna mantra. Amen. Okay.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. It's a joke. But may I say, explain something about this shloka. The Sri Krishna, Krishna is just like a sun. And he increases the happiness of cows and brahmanas and demigods.
Yeah.
Now comparison is here, like you just explained here, the moon and the sun.
Mm-hmm.
The sun increases the beauty of a lotus.
Yeah, lotus bloom, yeah.
Yeah.
Puskaran, yeah, Puskaran is Yosadharan, yeah.
Yeah, similarly here, that all these Krishna Kula and this Prithvihar and demigods and Brahmans, they are mighty jet like lotus. Mm-hmm. And Krishna's beauty and his glance is just like sun.
Yeah, exactly.
And there is similar thoughts in 10th Canto, 90 chapter 48, Jai Jananibhasa. Means Krishna increased the love of the themselves of Raja, especially the Gopis. His glance like the sun.
Yeah, because Brahmaji was, he compared Krishna's two lotus eyes to the sun and the moon. Because initially, Brahma was making so much prayer, so much, he saw that Krishna was not paying any attention. So Krishna was not paying any attention to Brahma's prayer. So he was kind of feeling neglected, because sometimes if a servant, you know, if someone desires either, let's say, praise or chastisement, otherwise, being neglected by the master is not something that a servant wants. So either Krishna, recognize him or chastise him, either way. So, but Krishna was not paying any attention to Brahma's prayer. But of course, at the end, he was able to see Krishna's two lotus eye. But because Krishna glanced towards him, and Krishna smiled. So seeing this, Brahmaji became happy. And then he made his prayer, So he compared Krishna's eye to the sun and the moon,
Yeah, moon also take out the temperature, increase the temperature. Mm-hmm. So the moon means when Lord glances, so all the injuries will go up.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much. So our time is gone. Ganatrashma Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Go up, Imanande.